How well can you see? Can you see clearly without glasses or contacts? Many people can't, and I can't. I happen to be blind as a bat without my contact lenses. But what if you had never worn glasses or contacts, and you didn't know that there was a way to see better? When I was a little kid in about the fourth grade, I didn't know that I couldn't see. I didn't like that the world seemed a little fuzzy, but far, far more than that, I did not like to fail tests. Any test, including an eye test. Which proves, perhaps, that the warps in our personalities set in very young. So, if an eye test presented itself, I would squint and strain to see the little letters, or else I would quickly memorize the sequence of letters said by the kid ahead of me in line, and voila, I passed. I was spared the mortification of failure, but I still couldn't see. I couldn't see anything, and no one knew it. Eventually, of course, it came out that I couldn't see, and I got very strong glasses, which were a revelation. I didn't know how much I couldn't see. And there have been other times in my life when I haven't wanted to admit ignorance or dependence or failure. And as a result, I didn't know that I was flying blind. Life is full of both recognized and unrecognized darkness. Sometimes the darkness is undeniable. Cancer, depression, the death of loved ones, and the horror of events like school shootings are hard to ignore. But sometimes the people who walk in darkness don't know it until a light breaks through. Recently, I was talking to a lovely professional couple here in the area who admitted that they bring their children to religious education at another institution, but they themselves don't believe in God at all. They are successful, comfortable, likable people, and life seems fine. It is fine in many ways. But just like I was fine as a fourth grader, I wasn't sick or failing school, but I had no idea what it would be like to move through the universe being able to see. The couple I talked to are fine for now, but they have no idea what it would be like to move through life and death with the lens and heart of faith. People who believe in God are equally subject to unrecognized darkness. We can be blind to the ways we've veered off track in our faith, and blind to the ways we live that hurt others and hurt the world. You might call this condition Babylon eyes. In the 6th century BC, there was an unfortunate period in the life of the people of Israel when they were conquered by the Babylonians and forced into exile in Babylon. They had been warned that this was going to happen, but their hearts were hardened, and they were blind to the coming judgment. On one hand, they were refugees, traumatized by the experience of war, and ripped away from their faith and culture. On the other hand, as has been mentioned in several of our sermons about Isaiah, it wasn't all bad. They began to build new lives in a new place. They were allowed to build homes and marry locals and accumulate wealth. After about 60 years of exile, many of them would have been born in Babylon and not even have known another life. We would call it assimilation. But Paul Hansen says that their faith was threatened with extinction by the inertia of resignation. Babylon might not have been home, and it may have been sucking the life out of their relationship with the living God. But it was starting to look okay. That's Babylon eyes. And then God did a shocking thing. The Babylonian Empire was toppled by the Persian Empire, and God used a Persian monarch named Cyrus to change the course of history for God's people. Cyrus decreed that the Jewish captives were free to go home and rebuild. But did they want to? Many of them had Babylon eyes. This is where the prophet Isaiah came in, to open the eyes of the people of Israel and to show them what an amazing opportunity God was giving them. The scripture we read today is actually part of a song. Arousing, wake up and celebrate victory kind of song. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. God is so amazing and has just brought about such a radical change in the life of God's people that the whole creation is compelled to join the song. Alluding to the song of Moses in the book of Exodus, this song says, "The Lord goes forth like a soldier. Like a warrior, he stirs up his fury. He cries out, he shouts aloud, and he shows himself mighty against his foes." What does God shout? Yes, it has been a long time coming. But he shouts, "I will lead the blind by a road they do not know. By paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light and the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them." This was great news for the Jewish people in exile. But what does it have to do with us? Think of it this way. Today is a day of amazing music. But if our choir went outside and stood on the sidewalk and sang the same songs we've just heard, they would be singing the same notes from the same pages of music. But it wouldn't sound the same. In here, in the context of a worship experience, and in the context of this space where the notes wrap around each other and are elevated by the acoustics, we hear music differently than we would outside. Christians hear the words of Isaiah, knowing that they are about a moment in time and about a far bigger picture. Within the acoustical context of the whole of Scripture, the notes of Isaiah's song resonate on multiple levels. The song wraps around our experience of being liberated and redeemed by Jesus Christ. Isaiah's words point to Christ, and that is why this text is perfect for Advent. Jesus is here to light the way. And we are the people who have walked in darkness. We walk in darkness that we recognize, sometimes of our own making, sometimes imposed upon us. And we walk in darkness that we don't recognize. Sometimes we don't realize that we are the ones who have acquired Babylon eyes. We gradually assimilate into the culture so perfectly that our lives become indistinguishable from those of the lovely, professional, polite agnostics down the street. What does it mean that Jesus is coming to lead us, the blind, out of our own Babylon and our own experiences of exile? In just one verse of Isaiah, God makes four illuminating promises. First, God promises, "I will lead." I think we like to say that we follow Jesus because that sounds like we are virtuously pursuing a well-marked path at our own pace. But following actually means being led. The leader sets the course and the pace, not the follower. How comfortable are we with being led? How willing are we to travel a road that we do not know? God says, "I will lead." This Advent, keep your eyes on him and he will lead you, just as he led the first shepherds and wise men straight to Jesus. Next, God promises, "By paths they have not known, I will guide them." Every single one of us is headed down a path we do not know, no matter how perfectly we plan our lives. The unknown path is a given. And we don't know how much we can't see. But God says, "I will guide them." To guide is to interact. To guide is to speak truth about the path ahead and to speak words of encouragement to the one who is being guided. God says, "I will guide." This Advent, listen to God's voice and be encouraged by the love your guide has shown for you. Next, God promises, "I will turn darkness before them into light and the rough places into level ground." We can see better with the light of Christ, and our blindness eases. We may still face difficult decisions, but we are not reliant on our own wisdom alone. The road out of Babylon may still be long, but walking with Christ is the path to deliverance. God says, "I will change your journey." This Advent, receive the gift of Jesus Christ, who changes everything. Finally, God promises, "These are the things I will do, and I will never forsake them." One of the reasons that Isaiah's song resonates with Moses' song and the gospel song resonates with Isaiah's song is that together they celebrate our timeless and trustworthy God. In the Bible, deliverance never seems to come to God's people as fast as they would like it to. But God's promises always come true. In Jesus Christ, the promise of the Messiah has come true. God says, "I will never forsake you." This Advent, Emmanuel, God with us, is here to light the way. It's not easy to recognize that we are all in some way blind. We may be blind to our need for help, or blind to the help God has provided. We may be blind to God's existence, or blind to our need for repentance. We may be blind to injustice in our world, or blind to our responsibility to help. And that is precisely why Jesus came, to open our eyes, to reconcile us to God the Father, and to lead us home. He is the light of the world. Rejoice greatly. Amen.